Penguin Random House Audio presents Chances Are by Richard Russo, read for you by Fred Sanders. For Those Whose Names Are on the Wall. For a second there, we won. Yeah, we were innocent and young. Miss Atomic Bomb, The Killers. Prologue. The three old friends arrived on the island in reverse order, from farthest to nearest. Lincoln, a commercial real estate broker, practically cross-country from Las Vegas. Teddy, a small press publisher from Syracuse. Mickey, a musician and sound engineer from nearby Cape Cod. All were 66 years old and had attended the same small liberal arts college in Connecticut, where they'd slung hash at a campus sorority. The other hashers, mostly frat boys, claimed to be there by choice because so many of the thetas were hot, whereas Lincoln, Teddy, and Mickey were scholarship students doing the job out of varying degrees of economic necessity. Lincoln, as good-looking as any of the frat boys, was immediately made a face man, which meant donning a scratchy white waist-length jacket to serve the girls in the sorority's large dining room. Teddy, who'd worked at a restaurant during his junior and senior years of high school, became a cook's helper, making salads, stirring sauces, plating entrees and desserts. Mickey? They took one look and escorted him over to the sink, where a mountain of dirty pots sat piled alongside a large cardboard box of off-brand steel scrubbers. Such was their freshman year. By the time they were seniors, Lincoln had been made head hasher and could offer both his friends positions in the dining room. Teddy, who'd had enough of the kitchen, promptly accepted, but Mickey said he doubted there was a serving jacket big enough to fit him. Anyway, he preferred remaining a kitchen slave to making nice with the fancy girls out front, since at least the galley was his own. Converging on the island 44 years later, all three were grateful for the educations they'd received at Minerva, where classes had been small, their professors available and attentive. To the naked eye, it had looked like most other colleges did in the late 60s and early 70s. The boys had long hair and wore faded jeans and psychedelic t-shirts. In dorm rooms, kids smoked dope, covered the smell with incense, listened to The Doors and Buffalo Springfield. But these were mere matters of style. To most of their classmates, the war seemed a long way off, something that was going on in Southeast Asia and Berkeley and on TV, not coastal Connecticut. Editorials in the Minerva Echo were forever lamenting the lack of any real activism. "Nothing's happening here," one said, riffing on the famous song lyrics. "Why that is, ain't exactly clear." No place on campus was less rebellious than the Theta House. A few of the girls smoked weed and went braless, but otherwise the sorority was a protective bubble. Yet it was here, far more than in their classes, that the real world began to reveal itself conspicuously enough that even 19-year-olds like Lincoln and Teddy and Mickey couldn't ignore it. The cars parked out back of the Theta House were not only nicer than those in the regular student lots, but also the faculties. Stranger still, at least to young men who didn't come from wealth, the owners of the vehicles in the Theta lot didn't feel particularly lucky to be at Minerva, or even to have parents who could afford the staggering tuition. Where they came from, Minerva was the natural extension of the first 18 years of their lives. Indeed, for many, this had been a safety school, and they spent their freshman year getting over the disappointment of not getting into Wesleyan or Williams or one of the Ivies. Though they'd known the statistics on the grades and SATs required to get into such elite institutions, they were used to having other factors count too. Things you could neither talk about nor quantify, but that still caused doors to magically open. Anyway, Minerva was fine. At least they'd gotten into the Theta House, was how they looked at it. Otherwise, they might as well have gone to UConn. On December 1, 1969, the evening of the nation's first draft lottery, Lincoln convinced the House mother...